So as I was preparing for this message today, I came across this meme. Lord, lead me not into temptation. Oh, who am I kidding? Follow me. I know a shortcut. Even the minions know that temptation is a reality of the human existence. And so here at the last of this Lord's Prayer focus that we're having in Lent, we have a petition about temptation. So we've been moving through this Lord's Prayer emphasis, this prayer that is beloved and well-known across the Christian world. And as we've moved through this, we have been looking at particular phrases. And one of the things we have discerned as we've moved through this focus is that the first two phrases of the prayer are all about God's holiness, about God as Father, about God's sovereignty, about God's kingdom on earth and in heaven. So what am I looking at? Oh, so sorry. Sorry, children, if you want to go to children's time, children's church, they're over there going. So as they go, we got these first two sentences of the prayer that are about God. So let's be reminded of that and let's pray those first two phrases together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And then we move to the next part of it. And all of that is about human beings and petitions about what human beings need. So let's move through that. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Okay, come on, sweetie. Come on, you can go too. Come on. There you go. Would you help her? Thank you, Robin. All right, so Jesus, as he's teaching his disciples how to pray, knows that temptation is a reality for human beings. Jesus experienced it himself. If you know the story of Jesus, you know that right after he's baptized, he goes into the wilderness for 40 days to fast and pray. And at the end of the 40 days, he is tempted big time. But temptation is there in the biblical story from the very beginning. The most famous temptation story of all in Genesis 3, a story about a forbidden tree and some fruit and a serpent and a man and a woman and God. And that story there in Genesis 3 is not just a story from a long time ago about a couple of people. That story is there at the beginning of the biblical story because it's our story. Human beings, when we are told we can't have something or do something, that's the thing we want most of all to have or do. And human beings, well, we'll get an idea in our mind about that thing that we want to have or do, and we'll play around with it for a little while. Maybe, maybe not. And then maybe we'll set it aside, but then we'll bring it back out again, and we'll play with it some more. And we play with it so much that it starts to take root in our lives. And then it blossoms. And we get so focused on this thing that we want to have or do that we develop tunnel vision and we don't even see the possible consequences of giving into the temptation. Temptation is real. It's real. Temptation can lead to brokenness, broken lives, broken relationships, and social upheaval. And if you're one of those people who says, I'm not tempted by anything, well, let me just tell you something. You're not paying attention, or you're not alive, because temptation is a reality of the human experience. So where does it come from? It would certainly seem in the Genesis story and in Jesus' story of temptation that it comes from this personification of evil. And it's the devil in Jesus' story of temptation. It's the serpent in the Genesis story. And for some people, that's a strong belief that there's a personification of evil. And for others, not so much. But let me just say here, evil is real. It's real, it's alive, it's moving in our world. So some people would say temptation comes from outside of us. Some people might even wonder in this prayer, does temptation come from God? Because the prayer says, lead us not into temptation. What? Why would God lead us into temptation? And that sort of then leads to, why would we resist what God is doing? Because maybe if God is leading us into temptation, that's going to lead to something good. But I would remind us of what Laura read from James's letter about temptation. Remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and God never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Now, James may be talking about physical death there, but I think James is also talking about the death of relationships, the death of dreams, the death of community, the death of hope. And James wants to be clear. Temptation comes from our own desires. Our own desires lure us down that road. But it's not God. That is not who our God is. Our God is like the father who helps the child get up when she stumbles and falls. So I wonder if it would be helpful in this part of the prayer that can sometimes be problematic is if we add a little punctuation. In the Greek, there's no punctuation. So you just have to sort of, if you're reading Greek, sort of have to figure out kind of where you think the sentence might end, where there might be a pause or a clause or something like that. So how might it change how we understand this particular phrase if we were to say, lead us, comma, not into temptation. Lead us, comma, not into temptation. Then it becomes a prayer for God to be the one who leads us on the paths of righteousness, leads us in the right way to go so that we end up not in temptation. Lead us, comma, not into temptation. Now, what we all know is there are some times when we don't follow the leader. There are sometimes when we choose to lead ourselves, and sometimes when we choose to lead ourselves down the path of temptation, and we end up in a mess. That's what the second part of this particular phrase addresses. Deliver us from evil. Because you see, our God is the God of second chances, who comes when we cry out, as Dara said, when we cry out from the mess, God comes to swoop in and deliver us and rescue us, not doing away with the consequences, but instead to help us clean up the mess we've made. Lead us, comma, not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Temptation is the reality of the human existence. We all struggle with temptation because we live in a beautiful but imperfect world. And so all human beings struggle with temptation. There's a wonderful story out of the Cherokee Nation about a grandfather who is teaching his grandson about the struggle within. And he says to his grandson, inside of me are two wolves. One of the wolves is the wolf who is a protector, who is defender, who is compassionate and caring, who chooses the right, who chooses the good. And the other wolf is the wolf who is the destroyer, is is destructive, the wolf who chooses what is wrong, what is evil. And I have that struggle within. Everyone has that struggle within. You have that struggle within, he says to his grandson. And the grandson hears this and pauses a moment and then says, well, grandfather, which wolf wins? And the grandfather replied, the one you feed. You know, my friends, when we come here to worship, we're feeding the wolf who cares, who is compassionate, who is kind, who chooses what is good and what is right. We feed that wolf by worshiping together and calling on God to lead us in the right paths. We feed that wolf when we come to the table and we are reminded that our God is the God of second chances, who comes to us and swoops in and rescues us, delivers us, and helps us clean up the mess we make. We feed that wolf when we pray this prayer every day. Martin Luther, the great reformer, prayed the prayer every day, at least twice every day. And at the end of the day, he would always focus in on the part of the prayer about forgiveness, because he said, I've always done something in the day that I need to be forgiven of. But then in the morning, he would pray the prayer that focuses on, lead me. Lead me. Lead me in this day in the paths of righteousness. Lead me so that I don't follow the path of temptation. I wonder what it might change in our lives and in the way we move in the world as if we every morning got up and said to God, this day, God, lead me, comma, not into temptation. Lead me in the paths of righteousness. In his commentary on this part of the Lord's Prayer, Thomas Long, the great New Testament writer, says this. The Lord's Prayer isn't a philosophical meditation on the origins of good and evil. It is a fervent prayer of the church, pleading with God to hold them together and give them strength to accomplish God's mission in a difficult world. Envision, he says, the people of God heading out the front door of the church to do God's work in a storm-tossed world and whispering this prayer. Keep us safe out there, O God. Let the forces of evil tremble to see us coming rather than the other way around, and bring us home at the end of the day even stronger in faith than when we go out. We're going to pray the prayer together, as we have at the end of each message in this series we've been in on. And our translation this time comes from Eugene Peterson's The Message. It's a very different sort of Lord's Prayer because it's a paraphrase. It's not a translation. But what's lovely about this is that it invites us to hear the prayer in a new way. But before we pray it together, we're going to take a moment in silence. I'm going to invite you to put your hands on your lap, maybe open, and close your eyes if that makes you comfortable. And I want you to name before God what tempts you the most right now. Let us pray together the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are, set the world right, do what's best, as above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Now, as our ushers come forward to receive our offering, I would invite you to join me in a spirit of prayer as we prepare to offer the best of what we have, our hearts, our lives, our gifts. Gracious and loving God, you are the source of all that is good, and we offer to you the very best of what we have today because it was yours in the first place. And we pray that our offering of ourselves and our resources will weave together with your greater purpose for us as a church and for the people that we come in contact with and whose lives we encounter. May our gifts be a part of bringing someone into new relationship with you. We pray this in the name of Jesus, as all God's people say, amen.